The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 428. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVDcast. Well, this is going to be an interesting episode. I'm going to be joined by my two colleagues from OWA, the Ohio Wrestling Alliance. We're going to be hearing from promoter Justin Dortch and ring announcer Weapon X and myself. We're going to be talking about OWA because, as you'll find out at the very beginning of our conversation, OWA is going to be, I guess, taking a break, going on hiatus, maybe finished for good. It's still yet to be determined. The three of us thought that since this past Saturday, May 4th, is probably the last event for OWA, that it would be fitting that we sit down and talk about this great promotion that Justin started. We're going to talk about some favorite matches. We're going to talk about some weird and wild tales that happened backstage. Justin's going to talk about how he came up with the idea to start OWA. And, you know, basically, we're just going to take a trip down memory lane. And I really want to just take a few moments to say thank you to Justin for the opportunity to be a part of OWA. I want to say thank you to Will, aka Weapon X, for being a great partner in crime, you know, as part of the announce team. He's the ring announcer. Of course, I'm the play-by-play guy. Also want to, of course, thank my broadcast partner, Harper the Underwaiter, for being a great partner. Want to thank all the wrestlers who traveled from all over to come and participate in OWA and put on banger after banger for the fans that showed up. And most importantly, thank you, the wrestling fans who have checked out OWA. And I know some of you might say, I never checked it out. Well, go to YouTube and look for OWA shows. They're going to be up there already. If they're not, they're going to be up there real, real soon. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a little bit of a longer episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear our conversation between myself, Justin Dortch, and Weapon X talking about OWA.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the first ever episode of the OWA podcast. I am your host, Weapon X. I am the OWA ring announcer. I am joined today by my commentary partner, John Orlando, as well as the owner and sole proprietor of OWA, Justin Dortch. Gentlemen, what's going on tonight?
Not much, Will. It's good to talk to you again, man. I mean, even though we just saw each other, what, 4 days ago, 3 days ago?
Yeah, it feels like a lot longer, but yeah.
It does.
A couple days ago, for yeah. Sure. Well, before we get started on this special edition of the OWA podcast, we have a special announcement from Justin. So, Justin, go ahead and take it away.
Hi, guys. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm technically the owner and promoter of the Ohio Wrestling Alliance. So Will and John have done quite a bit over the last 5 years to make sure I didn't do this alone. It is my sole responsibility. And to start with that, I think it's important to just get the elephant out of the room right away. This past Saturday, we ran a show called Brew Wars on May 4th. And going forward, that's probably the last show you're going to see from the Ohio Wrestling Alliance. We'll talk probably a little bit here a bit later why. But 5 years has been a hell of a run, and I think it's time we celebrate and talk about some of the things going on.
Okay, so Justin, let's go ahead and talk about some memories, shall we? Before we get into I guess the big question, since we're talking about the elephant in the room, is going to be the why. But we can hold off on that. We could talk about that after we take a bittersweet trip down memory lane, as I said. Do either one of you guys have like some favorite matches that you recall from the various different events over the past 5 years with OWA?
Well, I think for me, I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff out here. So I was kind of going through the list of things. And I think if I were to say what was the, if I was to point to one single one as being probably the best ever, it's probably something between Trey Lamar and Damian Chambers, maybe, or PB Smooth and Shug D match is one that really comes to mind. And then I think AC Mack and Shane Taylor is right up there for me as well. If I was to do like a top three, it would probably be something that looked like those three. There's other stuff in here, like, you know, if we go deeper back, that probably doesn't come to mind right out front. But if we start going through these cards and say, you know, kind of talking about individual shows as opposed to matches, I think we'd come up with quite a different list, or maybe some other things would come to mind that we don't necessarily always think of first.
Justin, what about you?
John, why don't you go first? Because mine's going to be a little more complicated.
Okay. You know, I thought back to all the various shows that we've put on in OWA, and there were matches that stuck out to me because they were maybe something a little bit different on that show. You know what I mean? Like, we had plenty of heavy hitting, you know, with the big guys. We had plenty of luchador action with some of the smaller guys. So these were kind of things that, or matches, I should say, that kind of were a little bit different. Like, for an example, I think on our last show, not the show that would just happen this past Saturday, but the show before that, I thought Maserati, Wes Barkley, and Eli Isom was a fantastic match. If pushed, I would say it stole the show. I just felt like it gave like a bit of the new school with a little bit of the old school flavor to it as well. Thought it was really well put together as a match. I mean, Wes is a fantastic heel. So I really dug that match. I said that day, it's going on my top list because I really dug it. Another one from our time out at the Franklin County Fairgrounds, I really enjoyed Trish Adora taking on Don't Die Miles. That was a great match. And I say that because I think those two worked so well together, and I don't think they had ever wrestled before. You know, so that's a credit to whomever. I don't know who was leading that match, but it was a really good contest. It was a really good matchup. And I think my last one.
Well, before you go to your last one, there's actually a fun, quick story about that. It was only our second show ever, and I was still new to doing all of this. And the main event of the matches, which is what I'm going to talk about here in a second, I had someone that worked with Trish very heavily. And John Gresham came up to me, and he looked at me. He goes, Justin, do you mind if I agent the main event? And or not, they weren't the main event, the semi-main event, which was Trish and Don't Die Miles. And I had to look at John Gresham, and I was like, John, you can do whatever the hell you want. You're way better at this than I will ever be, buddy. Go nuts. So that's who was heavily involved in helping. I don't want to say doing all the work, but heavily involved with both of those two. Who, you know, John was one of Trish's trainers, and Miles was very young in his career. When the Ring of Honor pure champion grabs you aside and says, let's talk about what we're going to do in your match, probably listen.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, speaking of Gresham, he was such a world-class dude to deal with. I mean, we obviously dealt with lots of talent throughout the years, but he certainly, you know, Ring of Honor standout, but he certainly was world-class all the way around.
Absolutely.
My last match that I thought was one of my favorites was the big, and this was from the King of Clubs. It was the scramble where the winner got a shot at the world title. It was amazing. It was, I remember, Carly Bravo jumping off that platform onto everybody, that the end where the briefcase kind of got fumbled and stumbled and bumbled, but still ended up with O'Shea, who was supposed to win anyways. I thought that was, to me, that was a fun match, and it was one of my favorites.
It was actually going to make my list as well.
Okay.
It's funny you say that, because I had a couple of fans come to me after the show and ask, how did you rig it so that the briefcase would fall to O'Shea? And I was like, I love that you guys think I have that kind of forethought.
So they were duped.
Yes. Everyone, I guess, thought we were, because it was a different finish than anything you'd ever seen before. It was just very, very strange. And I was glad it happened. I cannot pretend that it absolutely was planned in any way, shape, or form.
I remember watching it fall in slow motion and thinking, what the fuck are we going to do now? And then it bounced right to, like, literally right to him. And it was like, oh, well, we don't have to do anything.
Well, I was running down from the crow's nest where Carly jumped off of to go rehang the damn thing. And Shug had to stop. He's like, stop. It's in O'Shea's hands. And I was like, what? What do you mean? And he's like, no, it's over. It's over.
Yeah,
I
hear the bell ring. Perfect. Like, what the hell right. is that?
Who were the refs for that? Was that Jake Clemens and Porter O'Shea or no?
It was Clemens, and I don't remember the other. I'm sure if I thought about it, I could.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. It might have been Max, now that I think about it.
I think you're right. I think it was Max.
Because we had two vets, two great referees in the ring, and they were just like, no, this went the way it's supposed to go. Let it happen. Okay, for some of my favorite matches, you already mentioned one of them. I will tell you, the first show is a special place in my heart. And I actually think all the show matches on that were great. But the next show, I think it was the next show, let me check real quick, was the first match that we had that got attention on social media. And it was the first time in my life, first time I was actually scared that something had happened in the ring. And that match was Gary J versus Jake something.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys, as you mentioned earlier, just beat the hell out of each other. They do a tombstone pile driver spot that is a sit-down tombstone pile driver on the ring apron. That was the first time that had me look away actively from the ring. Now, maybe because I was terrified I was about to be sued, but, you know, whatever. My next match, my next favorite one, was another special show of mine, which is right when we came back from the pandemic, and we might talk a little pandemic wrestling here in a bit. But when we came back, we were the first to run in the state of Ohio with the very first Good Trouble. The main event of that match, we mentioned him earlier, was Jonathan Gresham versus Myron Reed. And that was a match I just absolutely wanted to see for all of the right reasons. They performed about as well as I think any human being could expect them, the two individuals to project, perform. It was absolutely everything that makes me a pro wrestling fan. I can't talk enough about that. And the last match I'm going to talk about, though I can talk about a lot more of them, was the one that happened on my 40th birthday, which, if I remember, I called High Gravity. The reason we called it High Gravity, and I'll embarrass myself with this, is it was my 40th birthday. Exactly on my 40th birthday. And High Gravity is the type of malt liquor that is made when you make 40 ounce. So most people thought it was wrestling related. It was actually alcohol related. and that match was the main event, which was Trey Lamar. It was Lee Moriarty, and it was Daniel Garcia. And I remember booking that match. And this was before Lee and and Garcia were on AEW. And I just remember booking that match and thinking, these three guys have a chance to be on television. And two of them are on TV and fairly in very good positions right now. And I think Trey is just as talented as either of those guys. And so being able to watch them on my 40th birthday was awesome. And I'll never forget that match.
Will, do you have anything else you want to chime in there with, and when talking about matches?
Yeah, no, those are all really good ones. I think that that's kind of what I was talking about. Once we started talking through some of those, I was kind of thinking, oh, we'd see we'd see, or we'd start thinking of some other ones that would come to mind. And certainly that Good Trouble show, the very first one. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. There's Trey Lamar and Eli Isom was really good on that show. Mm-hmm. O'Shea Edwards, Lee Moriarty was good. The main event against the Tate Twins was really good. PB Smooth and AC Mack was on there. And then Anthony Bennett and Ryan Rembrandt, who Anthony Bennett had kind of just came out of. It wasn't just came out of, but he had been on the Cruiserweight Classic, WWE. And Ryan Rembrandt had not yet done some stuff with AEW, but he's been on there a couple times as well. And I remember it. Never seeing anything from those two, and I thought they did really well. And in fact, they came back a couple times after, especially Bennett, who's absolutely fun. Yeah, he's like one of the funniest wrestlers I've ever met. But now there's you know, you go through a lot of this stuff, and you know, it's hard to remember everything, especially when you talk about like pandemic wrestling, as he mentioned earlier, and then. You start thinking about, you know, when you did certain stuff, you know, obviously at all these other events, but I wasn't in the ring prior to high gravity. So I was kind of just there. I did try my hand at commentary the very first show, but it was like a 3-man booth. So it wasn't really that fitting for me. But then, you know, after high gravity, it took a different meaning, you know, the matches and stuff kind of took on a different thing because now I'm more involved. Now I'm there. Now I'm the only person, you know, doing the announcing and, you know, you don't, this is different for you because you're in commentary. You have to watch every match, right? Like,
yeah,
like you right. can't fucking call a match from backstage. Whereas I feel like there's a lot of times, and this is at any company I work for, it's like, I'll announce the match and then I'll get out, but then I'm always like checking on other stuff, or I'm like checking with Justin, or I'm like backstage, like making sure, you know, X, Y, and Z is good or whatever. And like you miss certain parts of stuff that, you know, you would normally, if you bought a ticket, I'd be sitting there and I'd watch the whole damn thing. But there's parts of stuff that I miss. And then I'm always like, damn, man, like I wanted to see that, or, certain individual performances I wanted to watch that I didn't get to see. But I mean, I think it's worth talking about not only matches, but talking about who some of your favorite performers have been throughout this journey. And I think there's been some guys, you know, we can talk about the guys that we know already, right? Like these are guys that we knew what they were capable of before they came to work here. And we see them at other places, right? So there's like, it's not mysterious in any way that they're good wrestlers. But I think there's people along this journey that we discovered, not we as a company discovered, we as individuals discovered and was like, oh, this guy's really good at wrestling. And, you know, hadn't seen a lot of their work before. And then getting them down here and then watching them in person where it was like, oh, okay, this is a little bit different. A couple of guys that come to mind right off bat for me was, and I, this is probably like number one, I think, just of somebody I wasn't familiar with. I had seen him before, but not a lot, but that was Frontman Ja. I think all the work that he's done every time he's come down here has been tremendous, whether it's on the mic or whether it's, you know, in the ring, interacting with the crowd and stuff. I thought he did really good work. Anthony Bennett, as I just mentioned, you know, I hadn't seen a lot of his stuff outside of WWE, and you know, he delivered every time that he was here. And I was a big fan of Tony Johnson, who came out a couple times with the Pittsburgh car, and he made an impact, I thought, every time that he came out. I'm trying to look through some other people. You know, a lot of it's hard to find people that we had not seen a lot of before. I thought we got a lot of really good stuff out of Ashton Starr every time that he came up here, that he did some really good work. obviously Damian Chambers. I mean, Damian Chambers is a guy who I had seen, I can't remember. I'd seen him somewhere prior to here, but not a lot. And even still, I think he's not getting as many opportunities as I wish he would. But I feel like he really turned it on here. And I think that kind of led to some of that, you know, the revolver stuff that he's got going on. He's had some good moments down there, but before he was doing stuff with us, he wasn't doing anything with the revolver, and he had some really good matches and really good opportunities here. That kind of made him into, I think, some of the stuff that he's doing now. And he kind of mentioned that on the mic on Saturday as well. So those are just who are some people for you, John, that you kind of saw here that you had not really seen that much of before, and you were like, oh, this is the guy.
That's an easy one. The revolutionary Darius Lockhart. I didn't know too much about him, but when I started researching him and see some of the promos he did and how unique and stylistic his promos were, I became a big fan. And on top of the character, like that's just a really cool character that you could do a lot of different things with. You know, you could easily be the heel, you could easily be the babyface. You know, I liked it a lot. I thought it was a great, and I told him that. I actually pulled him aside and I said, "Hey, I'm going to sound like a mark, but I really dig the character, man." He goes, "Thank you." I was like, "Yeah, I dig it. It's just, I don't know. It's that Public Enemy fan in me. That's what it is, you know?" So I think those, I'd also say the main event was another set of gentlemen that I didn't know too much about. But
it shocked me they're not signed.
Yeah.
He shocks me. They're
yeah, it's talking. Amazing.
It is. But those two guys I thought were great. They also, Duke gave me an excellent comment one time when Harper and I went around to try to get some info. And he's like, you guys know the deal. You make us sound really important, so you're good. I'm like, okay, wow, thank you. Nice. You know, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm glad that he thought that I deserved that little compliment. So I think those two. I mean, I think also to the Gymnasty Boys, way back to show number one.
Okay.
I mean, I think that would, if I was picking another one, I'd pick that duo because they were something unique.
That was actually Crystal, my wife's pick. She saw them at an indie show once when we were touring before we opened the company, and she goes, "I don't care what they cost; they're coming to Columbus for our first show." She loved the gimmick. Both guys. Both Timmy and Mike are great guys. Will, you and I actually got to hang out a bit in Dallas Mania with them. Just a really, really good people and just phenomenal performers, both on the mic, and in the ring. Great guys. Speaking of that, before I give mine, I just want to comment. Will, you're absolutely right about Ja C. I will tell you, Ja is the guy that I wish I had booked more. I would hand that guy a microphone in any situation I was ever in. He is just again, one of these guys, and you're probably going to hear me say this a lot. I can't believe this guy's not signed. I loved when he started popping up on every WWE event for like a couple of weeks there, whether it be as a police officer or a security guard or whatever the thing was. Because I usually start to see something like that, and you hope that it leads to that guy going down to the Performance Center. He is a walking WWE talent, and I just don't understand how he's not there right now. Another one you mentioned that is just as good as any indie wrestler, I think, in the country that no one knows about is Tony Johnson. That guy is just incredible. He's smooth. He is everything you want as an in-ring performer, and I loved watching him work. And you're right, it was a huge... Like, I had looked him up, but it was pleasant to see it in action. It's as good as it was on film. A couple guys I think you guys missed, and a lady I think you guys missed. She ranks up there of someone I wish I had booked more as well. But we'll start with Jamal King from Michigan.
Yeah,
for sure. I love that dude. Just a good guy, a hell of a talent, stayed fairly local. I wish we could spread him out a little bit more. Related to that is another Michigan guy who has now spread out and is much, much better than he used to be. Actually, two of them. Jack Price came to work for us a while ago and has come back multiple times. and has just been a huge contributor. And a guy named Jason Hotch. Hotch came to us to work for us during the tournament coming out of COVID. And that guy, just from the look to the, I'm thrilled to see him succeed in the TNA. It's incredible. A couple other guys that I want to hit the grill. Rico, who has now really spread his wings and is doing really well in the independent scene. He was very young when he started working for us and super talented. A guy that I like just as a human being and as a terrific big man. Darius Luttrell out of Chicago. Another guy which was out and about more often. And the one woman I wanted to mention about this, because I wish I had booked her more, was Clara Perez. She came in through Eli Isom and Cheeseburger. And I can speak very highly of both of those two, but everyone knows those individuals. And she is ready for TV. She's just awesome to watch work. And I've really enjoyed working with her. Those are some of the people that I just off the top of my head could think about who I love seeing and wish we'd seen more of.
Justin, was there ever a name or a legend that you would have booked? I know that wasn't the booking style with OWA, but I'm just out of curiosity. If you could have, would you have booked a WWE legend or something like that for one of your shows?
I had talks with, and I don't want to get into too specific, but I had reached out to a friend who's a promoter in a different area about bringing in some larger names. And I considered it. There are a couple of guys that I would have brought in. I don't know if I'd have ever brought in a quote-unquote legend. I was interested in bringing in guys who had recently been released. I really liked the idea of getting that kind of buzz, especially because most of those guys, let's be honest, a lot of the guys who come out of a release come off with a chip on their shoulder and they want to show the world what they can do. And I thought a couple of those guys could do it, but I don't want to speak out of turn and say who I spoke to or who I didn't spoke to, because that's unfair to them and unfair to why it could work out. ACH was a guy that I wanted pretty bad from, because you guys have known me as a wrestling fan for a while. Like, I was a huge Ring of Honor fan. John, I think you and I had gone to shows 10, 15 years ago for Ring of Honor. And so to get guys like him, Cheeseburger, Gresham, and Shane Taylor.
Rhett Titus.
Oh, my God. That was incredible. And the career arc that guy has gone on, just starting young at Ring of Honor and growing and getting better and then changing completely and doing it all again. Those are the kind of guys I was looking for. So, well, yeah, there are some people I would have considered. There was no one hard set fast.
You were never going to book the Warlord.
What?
Yeah. You were never going to book the Warlord.
No, the Warlord wasn't for me. I'm sure he's a nice man, but it was not in the cards for me.
Okay, gotcha. Is there any unusual stories, Justin, that you'd like to share from the promoter's point of view?
Couple, but I'll do one and I'll let you guys tell a couple of yours. I want to talk about the first show first. For those of you that don't know me, I'm a lawyer, and I've never been in the wrestling business. I had a couple friends who, and I'm sure we'll talk about the start of the OWA here in a sec, but I didn't know how to do this. So I took about a year between when I met Will and John, you and I got the idea to do this. I went around and I volunteered. I worked ring crews and stuff like that. I had no idea how to ask a wrestler to be on a show, especially for a promotion that doesn't fucking exist. And I'll never forget someone go, just slip into their DMs. And I was like, do that? And that's literally how it started. And I'm a 43-year-old guy, and there's nothing stranger than asking Tim, hey, do you and Mike want to come to Columbus, Ohio from North Carolina, come to a wrestling show for a promoter you've never heard of, for a company that doesn't exist, to a bar on Ohio State's campus where we're going to have to take the ring up two flights of stairs? sure, sign me up. Let's do this. I just that will always strike me as one of my favorite stories.
I remember it as like it happened yesterday, is when we had that conversation on the way home from old wrestling, where you said, I want to run a show, and it was going to be a show. And I was like, you know, you're going to lose money. I'm like, that's how supportive I was. I was like, you know, you're going to lose money, right?
Like, yeah, I'm aware.
Well, you got any strange stories?
I don't know if it's really a strange story, but we talked about this guy already earlier with frontman Ja. So I told him this story as well when I met him. So feel free to tell it now. But there was a point in time where Justin had asked for some help with social media stuff. And I was going to put out some of the match announcements on Twitter. And so I get the login information to go in, and you know, there's a plethora of requests from wrestlers to work for OWA. Where can I send my resume? What other dates do you have open? Bunch of them in the other folder, you know, that are not read, or they're from someone who doesn't follow you, or however it worked at the time. And so I kind of start going through them, and I'm just looking, and I mean, there was probably like close to 100 at the time that I'm scrolling through, and I see a DM from Frontman Ja, and it was like 3.5 months ago, unread. And I was like, wait a minute. It's like, I know this guy, or I've seen this guy. So then I open it, and I'm reading through, and you know, he's just probing and asking about working here and stuff like that. And you know, then that's when I was like telling Justin, I was like, bro, you got Frontman John, the DMs, you know, wanting to work here, and you haven't responded to this. So let's start investigating what it's going to take to get him out here or whatever. So then we eventually booked him, but it was like several shows after that before, you know, things could really work out. And he delivered that first performance. And I think he came back like three times total, maybe. Cause I know he wrestled Jeff, he wrestled Adam Priest, he wrestled PB. I don't remember if there's any other ones than that, but you know, after the first one, I went up to him and was like, brother, I was trying to get you out here way earlier than that, but you've been sitting in the other folder unread for like 3 months. And he's like, I know, I was trying to get out here with you know, I think maybe when JDX was first coming out, because they're both from that area. And I think that's kind of where some of that conversation began, but either way, that was kind of funny. But yeah, going through that list, man, there's some other people in there that they probably would never have worked here in a million years, even if we had an unlimited budget. But it's funny, because there's like a collection of, you know, of these DMs where it's like people you would never ever consider booking. Some of them you've never even heard of. But then there's also this small collection of people that you're like, whoa, this person's asking, like, not like super high profile names, but it's interesting to see, you know, from different places and people that are reaching out. And it's like, that's kind of like, it's kind of surprising to hear from you, because you're like kind of a big deal or whatever, you know, and some of that stuff in there. But other than that, man, I don't really have any crazy stories. I know we got a really good opportunity to hang out after a show. I can't remember. I think it was after A Good Trouble. We got an opportunity to go to the bar, and it was me and my wife. It was Justin. It was Mysterious Q, ACH, and Anthony Bennett. And
I was gonna make my list. I took them to the shittiest dive bar.
Yeah, yeah. One of my least favorite places on the planet. And we got an opportunity to talk to ACH, man. And once we start talking to him, I could have sat there all night, and we just kept going and going. And you know, he was telling us all kinds of stories, and we were talking anime, and we were talking Japan and all this other stuff. And it just went on for forever. And it kind of reminds me of this time. This is an unrelated OWA story, but I want to tell it anyway because it's kind of fitting. But once upon a time, I went down to Jeffersonville to go to a show, and John Gresham was on the show. And afterwards, Mouse was taking Gresham to Roosters for dinner after it was over. And I think like Billy was there and a couple other people, but not a big crowd. But, you know, we go to this Roosters and we sit across from Gresham and, you know, kind of asking him some wrestling questions and just making casual conversation. And, you know, he didn't really like open up or like seem like he wanted to talk. And then all it took was after a while, you know, we were kind of just back and forth. And then I asked him about video games. Dude, he lit up from that moment after I asked him about that. And that dude talked like people were leaving and like wanting to leave. And he and I were still going like back and forth about games. And after that, man, we talked to him for like, it was like 2 hours just going on and on. But it was like, it was so funny to find that, you know, that one common ground that we had things to talk about or whatever. So that's kind of a similar story, you know, talking to ACH. And once we got on anime, it was a wrap, man. We just sat there and talked for hours about anime.
I think for me, my only weird, not really wild, but weird BTS story behind the scenes was the show in which we had from Michigan, Heidi Katrina, come down to wrestle Nikki Victory. And I remember like this very odd looking fellow came over to me and handed me this bag. And he was like, can you give this to Heidi Katrina? Let him know it's from whomever. I forget the gentleman's name. And I'm like, sure. So I just kind of peeked in the bag and it was all food. So it wasn't like, you know, I don't know what I expected, like a time bomb or something. I don't know. But, you know, so I take it backstage. I'm like, Heidi, this is from so-and-so. And she's like, okay, well, thank you. But this is a guy who follows me around. I'm like, what? And this guy would follow her from show to show. And we ended up finding out what he was from, one of the Carolinas, if I remember correctly.
Oxford University of one of the Carolinas.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he trapped her at the end of the show, kept asking her questions. And I could tell that she needed saving. So I went over and did the whole, you know, excuse me, Heidi, we need you in the back for a couple promo picks and whatnot. Can you come on back just to save her from that dude? But that was something that I haven't seen in a long time. And I've been doing this a very long time. But, yeah, I haven't seen a fan like that in a while. So that to me was like one of the more crazy stories from backstage.
Yeah, it's kind of alarming.
Yeah.
I'll tell a few quick ones. The first time we were at King of Clubs, the very first match was a vet named Austin Mannix, he's an absolutely wonderful guy, versus Tommy Vendetta. And the first thing I told everyone in the production meeting was, hey guys, the owner's a little leery about us going out of the ring. He's never had a wrestling show before. Can you guys not do this? Mannix was one of the vets, and I still do trust him very hard. Well, can we just go out for a little bit? We won't do anything. And I'm like, yeah, but don't stray too far. We're going to hold to a hard 10 count. Very first match we've ever run at my favorite venue we've had. And those two son of a bitches break a table. And not a table I'd set up or purchased, one of the cocktail tables that the bar owns. And I'm just sitting here like, oh my God, first match I've already lost a venue. This is great. Way to go, guys. And they both came back and just apologized profusely. It was very, very fun. And I just was like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill you both. I literally at intermission was so worried about losing the venue that I screwed the table back together during intermission and put it back up so that the owner would not lose his mind at me. Speaking of the King of Clubs, one of my favorite stories, and I'm glad we're going to talk about him for a minute, was we mentioned Jake Clemens once, who's just a wonderful referee, was in the WWE system for a while. He sent me, he's like, hey, you're going to get a text message from Josh Bishop. And I was like, oh, yeah. I get text messages from Josh all the time. I love Josh. I really do. He's a great guy. And he and we had booked, we were booking Tom Lawlor on that show. It was an evening Saturday night show, and there was a noon OSU football game, and Tom flies in from Las Vegas, and Josh and Clemens had secured some OSU football tickets, and I had to, they're like, can we take Tom to the OSU game? I was like, sure, guys, no beers. They're like, how about one beer? I was like, no, that's no beers. And they showed up, and Tom is just wearing this I Heart 614 t-shirt that I have no idea this on this earth why this former MMA guy is wearing this random ass shirt. I mean, where'd you get it? He's like, we had a good time at the game. I was like, you know, that's all I need to know. Back to the first show back from the pandemic, Good Trouble One. I worked with the Ohio Athletic Commission very hard to ensure that half of the rules I wrote would be enforced at our show. And everyone remembers that time period that include masks and social distancing. And John, you might remember this. Well, I don't know if you remember this. There was a guy sitting on the entrance.
I remember.
I remember this guy.
He did not want to wear his mask.
Yeah.
And so at intermission, after telling him two or three times before intermission, you got to wear a mask, I went up to him. He was clearly intoxicated. And I told him that he either put the fucking mask on and keep it on, or I'd give him his money back and he could leave. And he told me that I couldn't do that. I pulled out $30 from my pocket and I shoved it in his chest. He's like, do you really think I need your money that fucking bad? And to his credit, he wore his mask the rest of the show. And then the last one is, and for reasons I will not go into, but before the Fight for Pride show, I had Crystal and I got to have lunch. Well, I think you were with us.
I was there. Yeah.
With Allie, Ashton, Effie, Rico, and AC Mack. And that was just one of the most fun lunches I think I've ever had. And I'm not talking in the wrestling business or anything. I just had a blast. The jokes, the just laughing with each other, the good time that was had during that was just absolutely incredible. And it'll be one of those memories from a show that I won't forget.
Can we talk about the other elephant in the room? Justin, why are we calling it quits?
So when I started this company, there's a couple of reasons. But let's stick with the two biggest ones. One, when I started this company, I decided I wanted to do this in venues that were places I would like to go. I don't mean to disparage any other independent promotion. I understand how difficult this is to find venues, how difficult this is. Trust me, 5 years, I've done it. I've run it. But I wanted to be in places where I would just go to hang out. And it's become clear to me that that's becoming harder and harder to do. It's not that I have anything against the venues. I hang out at the Outer Bell Brewing, the brewery, but it's a little far away from downtown Columbus, which is where I wanted to be focused. And so that was one of the factors, is it's just becoming exceedingly harder and harder to do. The other reason is because this is a lot of work. Anyone that ever wants to talk about anyone wants to talk about running an independent wrestling promotion, there will be a couple of things I would tell them. And one, of course, is the first thing John told me when I say, you know, you're going to lose money, right? The other thing is it takes a lot of work. And I don't mean that in a negative way. For the first four and a half years of this project, I loved doing the work. I loved walking to when Raw or SmackDown came to campus and going out there and handing flyers to wrestling fans, walking on campus, sticking flyers into dormitories. I was so passionate about all of this, because that's the key word here, is that passion has to drive that. It was easy to do. I didn't mind walking down, even when we went to Outer Bell, which is, for everyone that doesn't know, about 30 minutes from downtown Columbus. I didn't mind going to Lancaster and Carroll and putting flyers in car windows at department stores, or going to the local Subway and asking them if I could put in posters. I loved it because it was fun, and it meant one more person might end up at our show. In the last 6 months, I've lost that. Everything has become a chore, to the point that, as Will pointed out, I've asked some people for more and more help. And I'm doing less and less of the things that are necessary to make this work. And that is not fair to everyone. It is not fair to me. It is not fair to my wife. It is not fair to the people that help with me and work for me or with me, like you guys. It is not fair to the performers that I am not giving my full all. It is not fair to the fans that are committed to coming to these shows. If you can't give your 100%, it's something you should not do. And I unfortunately am at the point where I don't have it. You guys are two of my really good friends. You know this. With the exception of our shows or WrestleMania, I haven't watched wrestling in like a year. I just can't make myself do it. And that's not good for the product. And I never want to put a product out I'm not proud of. And let me be clear. The last couple of shows have been very, very good, and I'm very proud of what we have produced. But I'm getting to the point where I'm just struggling more and more and more to get up to do these. Probably a funny story that we forgot to add is you guys have seen my usual rundowns. The first couple of shows, some of the vets looked at me and said, oh my God, this is like the great American novel. These things are like 7 or 8 pages long. You have timed out exactly what time this show is going to end. To my credit, we were always within 10 minutes of those. And like, because that's how passionate I was. I wanted this to be perfect. I timed entrances. I did all those things. And they were color-coded and they were detailed. And as Trey and PB will joke, they came in manila folders with their names on the top of them. And their names were highlighted and what their features were. And everything was done and everyone's was specific. This last show, everyone got one page. Carried the bare minimum. And that is not fair to the people that work on our shows. I expect more of myself, and I just don't have the drive. That's why it's probably time. Because if I'm not giving them my all, how can I expect someone else to give their all for me? So that's why this is going away. The reason I said earlier that I think it's important to say this, I'm sorry, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of time. Never want to Ric Flair this. I never want to say this is the last match ever. Because what did Ric Flair do after that? He wrestled like a match in Puerto Rico like 6 days later.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the end. And so as I stated earlier, this is going to be, I believe this is the end, and I believe this is the May 4th show will be the last show that OWA runs. I hope I'm wrong. I hope in a year I'm calling you and I'm like a fraternity boy texting a sorority girl. I'm like, hey, boys, you up? Like, I hope that happens. I do. I will tell you, for the first time in a long time, I texted Will today about wrestling. Just wrestling. And, hey, Will, you want to maybe think about Cleveland and SummerSlam? Because I got the pre-sale thing through the Columbus Crew, and we were both talking about maybe, let's see where we're at. And that's the first time I've thought about actively enjoying wrestling in a while. It's a Wednesday night. Maybe when we get off of here and I'll turn on Dynamite for the first time in forever. I don't know. And that's kind of exciting for me. So
I was going to say, you haven't been to an indie show in forever.
No, you view the product. I mean, you guys will say this, John, mm-hmm. You've done this for a while. Well, as soon as you got involved, you said the same thing. You view the product differently when you're behind that curtain. I'm more relieved. I don't want to say relieved. I enjoy the crowd reaction more than I enjoy a wrestling match now. I do. And that's awesome. The crowd reaction is great. But I haven't enjoyed a wrestling match in a minute. And I'd mm-hmm. like to find that again. You know, there was a day, actually, it's how we all met, was that I could name every champion, every promotion from Japan to here. I don't know who the U.S. champ in WWE is right now. No idea. I'm assuming it's still Logan Paul. And if you asked me to name the AEW champs, I couldn't. And Lord help me, I can't name a single New Japan champion right now. And that's a shame, because that used to be my favorite promotion and where a lot of the style choices I would make came from. I don't know who the world champ, it's Jon Moxley. I do not know any of the other champs. No idea. maybe I'll find those out again. That's where I'm at.
Will, do you have anything to throw in?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that's something that I don't know if you ever struggle with this as well, John, but it's like, for me, it's the time in between shows. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like maybe I've kind of had enough. Like I haven't even been doing it that long and I've had some really cool opportunities, but then I go to the actual show and I do it and I'm like, oh, that was so much fun. Like what was I thinking? Why was I ever considering that I would want to quit or would not want to do this anymore? And then I, you know, and then like 2 weeks go by and then it's like, I don't know if I want to even go to the next show, you know, cause I'm just like, it's not even about the wrestling or the, you know, being involved. I don't really know what it is for me, but I'm just kind of always like, I don't really get up for it until I'm there. And then once I'm there, I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm loving it. I'm with all the people that I know and, you know, saying hi to everybody and stuff like that. But something in between that time period where it's just like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And it seems to happen to me, kind of frequently, but, no, I think that, you know, wrestling has kind of always been a thing like that for me. And I think a lot of other people as well, where it's kind of, it's kind of secular in a way where it just kind of comes and goes, where, you know, sometimes you'll be super, super into it. And then it kind of falls off for a little while. And then you come back to it because it's always there, right? Like it's in some capacity, it's always been there. It's always probably always going to be there. So you can always come back to it at some point in time, you know, and it reignites passion within you every time you come back to it. It just depends on how long that passion stays, because it doesn't always last. You know, sometimes it's like, man, I'm so burnt out on this. I can't watch this shit anymore. There was a period, probably, I don't know, like right before the pandemic, maybe like 2019, where I was watching wrestling like six nights a week and it was like not missing anything whatsoever. And then, you know, it kind of started to fade, and I'm kind of in the same boat with Justin right now. It's like, I haven't watched anything. I watched WrestleMania, but I haven't watched anything aside from that. I picked up a couple shows here and there, and I watched a show or two that some of my friends were doing. But other than that, it's like, I haven't been watching anything, so I have no idea what's going on. So I can definitely relate to what he's saying in terms of, you know, where it kind of slips out, you know, the passion or the wanting to be involved and kind of stepping away from it and seeing if it brings some of that stuff back. So it's totally relatable. I think anyone listening to this that, you know, is involved in wrestling or watches wrestling will kind of agree or at least understand, you know, where some of that passion stuff can, you know, come from. You know, and I'll also touch on the fact that, you know, if you were at the show on Saturday, that was kind of the reason why I took the time to have people come out from the locker room and say that thanks to Justin, because I think, you know, during the time period that we've been doing this, you know, he's never put himself in the spotlight or never, you know, a lot of people didn't even know who the guy running it was. I felt like sometimes, just because he was never on the microphone, never, you know, in the ring, never really on social media, you know, as himself or anything like that. So I thought that, there was a lot of opportunities given to people, you know, myself included, or especially myself, that, you know, this probably wouldn't have happened. You know, some of those matches that we talked about earlier, especially, you know, things like Shane Taylor and AC Mack and stuff like that. It's like those matches probably would not have happened anywhere else. And, you know, if I don't get an opportunity to ring announce just that one show, there's, you know, a good chance that, you know, I don't get the other opportunity at the other company I work for. And then, you know, the other opportunities that I've gotten out of state and stuff like that, like probably a lot of that stuff doesn't happen because I'm just still just buying tickets and coming to shows, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's a lot of opportunities that were given to people to do some really cool stuff. You know, I think back to, you know, PB Smooth getting to wrestle Josh Briggs right before he went to WWE, you know, and he was one of the, I mean, he was one of the top guys in independent wrestling at the time, you know, all the stuff he was doing up in the Northeast at Beyond and stuff like that. And, you know, bringing him out here to do what he did. And obviously we talked about ACH, who was, you know, going through some stuff at the time that he was, but he was, you know, he was still super popular, and, you know, getting that opportunity was really cool. So a lot of good stuff happened. I don't think there's ever any reason to look back at this as not being successful. You know what I mean? I think we all measure success differently. And I think that it's, you know, it's important to understand what success means to you and how successful things were. But I think, you know, just based on what we've talked about from matches, from performers, from opportunities, I mean, you know, you can take the sales figures, the attendance, the viewership, you know, all that stuff kind of goes out of the window, and you look at the other stuff that we've talked about and you're like, that this is a true mark of success. You know, a lot of the other stuff you may view as success, like, oh, did we make $1 million? No. Did we, you know, did we live stream every week and have 10,000 people watching? No. But that, like, did we create this really cool shit that people are going to talk about for a really long time? Yes. And for me, that's like the true mark of success here. And I think that hopefully no one ever views it as a failure or, you know, or a quit, you know.
I don't want to, this is ending on a bad note, a sad note. And I don't want to do that. So I want to talk about one more thing before we go. Actually, I want to talk about two things. We forgot one match that absolutely has to be mentioned, in one of those best slash favorites. How did we all miss Mysterious Q versus Isaiah Broner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. For sure. I thought someone was going to die in that.
Yeah. No.
But the one thing I want to bring out, and because we just talked about why it ended, and I want to talk about how it started. And it's perfect that you two are with me, because you two are so very, very vital to what that happened. And Will, you're right. I do believe this is a huge success. And it started, for those that don't know, in 2018, when John and I bought tickets to go to All In. And John and Will have a buddy in common, a guy named Joey. And Joey, to put those two into contact, and I was just the guy who drinks beer along for the ride. I was with a good friend, and I made another good friend that day. But I made several good friends. That trip was the impetus for me wanting to do this. One of the big parts about it, and John, you were there for this. Will, you were not. I affectionately call the Batman incident. John and I were drinking at the bar at StarCast, and I happened to have the opportunity. I can already see John laughing at it. I got to have just the pure fortune of going up to get us all a round of beers. A couple of the guys we were hanging out with, guy, and I order a whiskey because I like whiskey. Guy next to me looks at me, goes, "The good whiskey? Yeah, it's decent." And I hand the beers back, and I'm handing the beers back. Eric Bischoff is the guy that asked me if the whiskey was good. So Eric and I started up a conversation. It was going very, very well. We weren't talking about wrestling. We're just talking about life. Turns out he hates lawyers like me, all these kind of things. And the reason I call it the Batman incident is, after several minutes of this conversation, I'm going to ask Eric if he just wants to join me and my friends for the rest of the evening and have some drinks and have a good time. And then this fan arrived. I'm only going to say fan in the nicest possible terms here. He is wearing a Batman hat. All he wants to talk about, I can't remember which pay-per-view it was, but it was Eric's decision that he made during the 1998 Starcade paper. I don't remember. And John, from about 8 feet away, can see the laser beam shooting out of my eyeballs at this kid, like, go the fuck away. And he just won't end. And Eric has to look at me and he just goes, "Really nice to meet you, Justin. I think I got to go upstairs." And that kid, I order another drink. And that kid looks at me and he goes, "Can you believe Eric was that short?" And to John's credit, he puts his hand on this kid's shoulder. He's like, "You need to go away now because I'm about to murder this guy." From that moment, and talking about TV production and about being a lawyer, all those things with Bischoff was the moment that this popped into my head. And that moment, I went home after hanging out with the two of you and Will becoming a much better friend with you after that. Crystal and I then started secretly going to independent shows everywhere we could find them. And I worked on Ring Cruise and I asked about how you sold tickets and anything I could do to just see what this was like. Did it for what, a couple months? Yeah, 6-8 months. And then John and I went to an old wrestling show. And that's when I told John I wanted to do this. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how I was doing it. I met with local promoters. I met with promoters in Louisville. I met with a promoter, weirdly, in Las Vegas. I met with Cleveland. I met with all kinds of people. They all gave me bits of information. So to all those of you that just didn't shit on me, thank you. That includes the two friends here and includes the promoters. I'll never forget this experience. And most importantly, I will never forget the people that have helped me, that have given me good advice, has given me bad advice. And most importantly, the friends that I've made and I believe will keep throughout the way. Those people included some of them we've mentioned before and some of them we haven't. But I haven't mentioned them enough and I should. Pretty Boy Smooth, because he gets mad at me when I call him PB Smooth now, because he's as he tells me, he's copyrighted that shit, has become a wonderful friend and a guy like I probably talk to, I don't know, a dozen times a week. He's a good guy. I like him as a human being. Tell him he doesn't hit hard enough because he's fucking a giant. He should hit harder and he gets mad at me every time I do it. So there's one more for you, PB. AC Mac and Rico, I cannot say this enough. You are wonderful human beings. I am thrilled that you are getting married. You two deserve each other. You are both wonderful people. I hope nothing but the best. As I told you in my last message to you, AC, send me the registry. I want to buy you guys whatever the hell is on there. It was one of my favorite things I ever got to surprise him with, speaking of stories. I knew it was the end for AC before most other people did. And I hopped in a car, and I rarely do this, and I drove 9 hours to Atlanta to make sure I got to see him say goodbye. Thanks to Matt at Action for letting me do that. It was important for me. I'll never forget the moment where you lost the OWA title, and came backstage. It meant a lot to me. Thank you. Joss and Isaiah, you guys are absolutely terrific. I can't wait to sit down and have a steak with you guys here soon in Columbus. Damian Chambers, just a great human being, a good friend, another human being I just talked to. I'm missing lots of people. I had lunch with Ashton Starr at a place called Lexi's here, one of my favorite members. Like, I could just keep going and going and going. I'm sorry if I did not mention you directly. If you want to bitch at me, you know how to reach me, text me. I will tell you my favorite story about you. My favorite story with the two of us here, and then I think John will want to wrap it up. John is with you, is probably going to All Out and starting all of this. I'll never forget that. And the fact that you and I, that or going out to Starcade 2.
Yeah.
And Starcast 2 and playing craps with Hornswoggle until I almost got kicked out of a casino. Not a story we're telling on this podcast. Those are some of my favorite. Will, it's been the whole journey, but most of all, you and I going out to Forbidden Door out in Chicago. And again, stories that will not be told on this or other podcasts. Meeting friends, meeting wrestlers that we know, we like, we appreciate. Those guys were incredible. And the wrestling itself was also great. I'll never forget these memories. And this is why when Will said this company a success? He's right. Yeah, should I have made more money? Yeah, I should have made more money. Yeah, are there stories that I won't tell on here? Yeah, there are stories that I won't tell on here, both good and bad. But it was all worth it. And it's been a hell of a 5 years. I want to thank you both.
Well, thank you, Justin, for the opportunity. You know, I think if I may be for just for a moment, I'm not going to do like you, because I'll probably forget a bunch of people and then hurt feelings. So I just want to say to everybody that ever came and worked a show, worked with us in OWA, thank you very much for doing that. Thank you for putting it all on the line when you stepped in that ring and gave the fans what they wanted. You know, that's all I got, man. See, I'm getting a little verklempt, aren't I? I'm getting a little verklempt, you know, getting a little teary eyed there, Will.
Yeah, for sure. No, I felt that on Saturday. I was like, that's why right after I got done, I came down and I was like, did I almost start crying? Like, it was pretty close. It was pretty close. But yeah, so.
Well, there was a reason I didn't invite everyone to have beers with me after that show like I normally.
Yeah, for sure.
That was the one I was not ready to just drink with everyone.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
All right, shall we wrap this bad boy up then, Will?
Yeah, man, this has been good. This from the start to the finish, and hopefully everybody that's come to OWA show or at worked an OWA show will give this a listen and you know, reach out, maybe share some of their favorite memories as well, and then you know, we'll see what the future holds.
Sounds good.
Last thing before we go, I'm working with Jeremy Spears, who produced most of our shows. To remove all of the copyrighted licensed content, i.e. entrance music. Once he has completed that task, I'm going to put every show up for free on YouTube.
Nice.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. You want to check out what we've been talking about? You're late to the party? There you go. Go to YouTube.
It'll all be up there. Watch it. Nice. Watch it often.
All right, boys. Well, this has been good. And
thank you both.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, thank you. Yeah, for sure.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Weapon X and Justin Dortch, reminiscing about OWA. And look, I think it's all been said. I don't think there's anything I can say in this outro that wasn't already discussed in the conversation that the three of us had. So I'm just going to end it with this. Go support indie wrestling, all right? Go support indie wrestling. Go enjoy wrestling, no matter if it's the WWE, AEW, or it's your local independent promotion. Enjoy wrestling, support wrestling, because we all love it. We're all fans of it. And that's what we should be doing, is we should be supporting what we love. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First of all, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just search for @pvdcast. And you can leave me a message over on Twitter. Just look for my personal Twitter handle of @PVDMVP. Now, if you want to let some folks know about this podcast and where they can hear it, there's a bunch of different avenues for that. First of all, you can catch every new episode over at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. And it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you got to do is go to the search bar of your favorite podcasting outlet or app, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And let me remind you that rating and reviewing is super important. You don't have to do much. Just give me how many stars you feel I deserve and give me a quick snippet, a sentence, a phrase real quick. I liked it. Great episode. Whatever. Do that, and that will help me out in the ratings as well. So again, please rate and review. And of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. But wait, there's one more avenue for checking out the week's episode of the PVDcast, and that's to go over to at PVDcast on Facebook Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can listen to the Facebook broadcast that I do each and every week. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out this episode, and I shall chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.